Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we turn to Thee in this morning. We come before Thee with thankful hearts that Thou hast gathered us together here in this Thy house. Thy word, ever powerful, before us. We pause before we open Thy living word, and we ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thou would give unto us attentive hearts, that we would hear what the Spirit doth say. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be receptive to Thy word, that our thoughts would be centered upon Thee in eternity, and that we would see, O Lord, what Thy holy will is for our lives, and that we would fashion our life after Thee. Abide Thou with us and bless our gathering. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's reading and meditation, I've chosen to read with God's help from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter number 18, the first 11 verses. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, the first 11 verses. Ljubavni želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz proroka Jeremije, 18. glava, prvi 11 brojeva. Jeremija, 18. glava, prvi 11 brojeva. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the prophet Jeremiah is being told here, word comes to him from the Lord, telling him to go to the potter's house. And why is he being told to go there? If we read in the previous chapter, we see something that is taking place, something that has happened, and this is the reason why Jeremiah is being told to go to the potter's house. It says in the previous chapter, verse 1, it says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with a point of a diamond it is graven upon the table of their heart." Sin. Sin is in the nation of Israel, Judah. And so God, who God is, a God of mercy, a God of hope, a God of love, sends his prophet to teach, to call, to instruct his people. And what a beautiful picture we have here of who our God is. When we see the prophet as he goes to the potter's house, he says, you're going to hear my words there. So Jeremiah goes into a potter's house, and in the potter's house, he sees a potter, and he sees a wheel, and the wheel is just spinning and spinning, and the potter has a lump of clay, and he's forming it. And that's the picture that God gives of himself, of us. And we know that in every potter's house, there is a furnace. And so Jeremiah goes and he sees the potter, who we know the potter is God himself. And if we look at what is taking place, he takes a lump of clay, which is void of any beauty. It's a lump of earth. How ironic that we actually come from the earth. Not ironic, but we go back to Genesis and we see we were formed from the very earth. And here he's taken a lump of clay, us, and he wants to form us into something that is beautiful, something that can be used, something that would honor and glorify the Creator, who is the potter. And if we look at, we know that we hear over and over and we read of submission. All we need to do is submit. And so why is it that it is so hard for us to submit? To actually submit unto our Lord. Because if we look at the potter, and if we just hear of God and his holiness, you know what the one man said, I know that thou art an austere person. I know you're harsh. He knows the severity of God. If we know the severity of him, of his holiness and his righteousness, and the sin cannot dwell in his presence, it makes us to tremble, and we don't even want to think about him. But we don't really know him then, because the Bible clearly identifies our Lord as a God of love. So if we are not submitting ourselves unto God, it is because we don't know him as a God of love. Because love is easy to submit to, right? If someone loves you with all their mind, all everything that they have, it's easy to submit. I trust myself with you because I know there's nothing that you will do that will be harmful to me. Everything you will do will be for my good. And it's easy then to submit. So if we find ourselves, dear ones, not in submission, not submitting ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ in our life, it's because we don't know him. We don't know him as a God of love. We don't know him. And he tells us, learn of me. And so we find that as he's in this potter's house, he finds that the vessel that was made of clay was marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter. The potter is taking his... No one knows what is in his mind. When you watch a potter at work, you don't know what he's making. You watch it start to become formed into something. And he has a specific design for that vessel. He wants to create it as a vessel of honor, as Paul talks of in the New Testament. A vessel of honor is what his design is for us. So in his mind, as he works this lump of clay, he has a specific design for it. And his fingers press upon various portions of it, and no one knows what he's thinking, except he himself. But we watch, and we trust in him, and we watch his work in his creation, and then now in the renewal, the rebirth, and the new life that he gives. A vessel is marred, though. What possibly can mar a vessel? When we know that the potter is perfect, how does a vessel come out a vessel of dishonor? When his goal is to create in it, the difference between this lump of clay and us is we have a will. And the only thing that can mar this vessel is sin. We read, the sin of Judah is written with the pen of iron and the point of a diamond, graven upon the table of their heart. They are marred. When Judas sold out our Lord, it tells us that there was the field that was purchased was a potter's field. We know what a potter's field is. It's a place where all the broken vessels that are done with, they're thrown into potter's field. It's junk. You can't work with it anymore. Unlike gold and copper, you melt it down and you reform it. And so, no, this is destroyed. It's broken up and it's cast into the field. And they call that field the field of blood. And it's that field that Jesus purchased with his very own blood. And so this is the miracle of a new birth. We're all marred. We're all marred with sin. But Jesus doesn't just take us and throw us away. But we have to know him. We have to understand him. In order to submit unto love, trusting him fully, that what he does with us is for our good. The wheels that we are spinning on, those are the wheels of time. Those are the circumstances that take place in each of our lives. Everyone is different. Joseph was sold into Egypt. Those are the circumstances of his life. But he allowed himself to be in his master, in the potter's hands. And he used those circumstances in his life to honor and to glorify his Creator, because he trusted in God. He trusted in him. Terrible things were taking place. Being put in prison, forgotten. Is it his fault that he had these dreams and that he expressed them to his dad and his brothers became jealous and they sold him and so on? Is it his fault? Those are the circumstances that have taken place in his life. Those are the wheels that are just spinning. God governs everything. Everything is designed to be used for his purpose. Did Joseph understand that? No, he couldn't understand it. We understand it because we read of it. From the beginning, we know what the end is, and we see it taking place. But as he lives it, are there questions? There's just trust. He trusted in God. Dear ones, when God took that which had taken place and he turned it into something good, that's who our God is. But Joseph allowed himself to be molded, to be made into a vessel of honor. We're all vessels. We're all vessels. We're either broken, marred, good for nothing. We have to be remade. To be remade, we become a new vessel, a vessel of honor. And our question is today is, as we have entered into this life in Christ, brothers and sisters, are we moldable? Because his desire is to make us into... See, the thing is, we know what his thoughts are. God revealed his thoughts unto us. Unlike that lump of clay who is just being molded, we know what his thoughts are for us. We don't understand perhaps some of the circumstances of our lives. We may not understand things. But we know what his thoughts are towards us. He tells us in this very same chapter. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. When his fingers press into us, dear ones, as we spin through this time, this wheel of time, the thoughts that he has towards us are thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Joseph didn't. What did Joseph do? Was he vindictive? Was he going to show his brothers who he is now? As a ruler in Egypt? He had the authority. He had the power. But he saw from his Lord where the power lied in his service. He said, I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So as we go through our life day by day, we have to know that God is love. Our potter, the one who is forming us to create in us a new image, a new birth that can only come through a new birth, is a God who has thoughts of peace and to give us an expected end, one not of evil, one that is good. And so we have to trust him because he is a God of love. And so in our trusting of him, we allow him to work in us. And we are tried in the fire. There is a furnace there. We're tried in the fire. Persecution arises. It's just like the picture that our Lord gives of the vine. We're on the vine, but the husbandman comes and he snips away. He reshapes, remolds us. For what? To be a vessel of honor, to bring fruit, to be made into his image. Not like my dad, not like my grandfather, not like Moses. No, to be made like unto his son. So those are his thoughts towards us. Why then don't I trust him? What do I see? Where have I ever seen the Lord as a God who I can't approach? I can't come to him. What does he say here in the last verse read? Now therefore go, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. So what do you say? Return ye. Return ye. This is someone who doesn't want to be molded into his image. This is someone who wants to live for himself. Our God who is love, he says, return. Come back. That's for every one of us here today. For us, brothers and sisters, who have wandered away. Because we don't see what his design is. You know, if we just look at the law and perhaps feel that if I do certain things that I'm allowing myself to be molded. No, that's not being molded. Being molded is letting him create in me a new man. And then because I am a new man, I love his law. I don't devise a lie against you Because I know that I'm not, it's not about you. What do we hear? Against you, David says, against you, and only you have I sinned. We have to understand that if I lie against you, you lie against me. We are sinning against God because we have violated those relationships that He has a design for us as a vessel of honor, that we would never have a thought to do such a thing. If you don't have truth, you have nothing. We don't hold the word of God as truth, we have nothing. Everything is a big lie then to us. If we look at God as someone who's going to just overlook our infirmities, because He's a God of them, then we don't understand that He is a God who is holy. And all that is taking place, is surfacing in our lives, is the fact that I don't want Him to mold me into His Son. Because to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ, I can never, brothers and sisters, I can't treat you any different than what a new heart and a new mind and a new man that is created in me could do. And so then my will starts to surface. I don't want that. And so the clay becomes marred. Brothers and sisters, we become marred. We do. But if we don't learn from that, our Lord will show us when we have erred. In some way, shape, or form, it's going to come up. We're in the potter's house right now. We see Him at work. Or do we? It's His word. Those are His hands that's pressing into us. It's His word. We know what His will is. We know what His thoughts are. Do we want to be here? Do we want to be shapen and molded into His Son? He tells the house of Israel, he said, can I not do with you what this potter did? I created you. As the clay is in the potter's hand, to do whatever the potter whatever the potter wants to do with it, so we are in God's hands. And so, dear ones, how much learning of Him do we do? How much do we think of when it tells us here that if this nation, as He says here, this here is speaking to a nation, but a nation is made up of individuals. And He's speaking specifically to us as individuals today who make up His body, who make up His church. A church that is designed to work in unison with Him. Only Him. Not the thoughts of others. Only His thoughts. So then the same thoughts that our Lord has towards us, thoughts of peace, we now have towards others. Are my thoughts of peace towards my brothers and sisters? Am I constantly irritated by you, wanting to assert my authority, my knowledge, my wisdom, my against you? When I do, then I'm marred. I'm marred, and I don't even know it. Why do I not know it? Because I don't know Him. If I don't know Him, what's going to happen? The vessel is a vessel of dishonor. It's broken up and thrown away. The wood, the vine is bundled up. It's bundled up, wrapped up, burned. It's useless. The examples that our Lord gives are we're either vessels of honor to be used for His, with His thoughts, His design, or we are absolutely worthless. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between that we are to strive for. Because those things that are in between are not in between at all. That's all destruction. And that's where man becomes deceived and thinks that he can do something. That he can actually do something for a salvation. The picture here is salvation. Brothers and sisters, we're being told a story of salvation. My dear friends, outside of Jesus Christ, you're a lump of clay. Don't think you're any better because you came into the house. Because if you leave the house, the potter's house, if you leave it the same way you came in, what good did it do you? When does he say here to repent? Return ye tomorrow. Now. Return ye next month. Now. Return ye next year. Now. Satan says next year. Satan says tomorrow. Satan says in the next decade. Satan says on your deathbed. The Spirit says now. Return now. Return now. Everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. How are you going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, God will do that. Remember, He's the one who has His fingers in our lives. He's the one that's pressing upon us as we're spinning through life on the wheel. He's forming us. And when I allow myself to be pliable, when I allow myself to be formed, dear ones, our ways and our doings will be good. Not mine. Not what I've done. But I've surrendered unto Him. Salvation, my dear friend, is total surrender. If anyone teaches you anything different, the Bible calls them liars. It's total surrender. Brothers and sisters, being a vessel of honor is total surrender. Let's not allow personalities to cause strife. So do we think that as we sit in the potter's house and as his fingers are working in us, as his word is coming to us, that he's going to say, well, you're marred, but I'll just let you go? He says here, the marred, he made it again. He made it again to another vessel. It's no good. Sin mars us, dear ones. Here's who he has, here's what he has a design for us. He says, unto you, but you are a chosen generation, This is the vessel of honor. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Being tried in the fire, dear ones. Everything, just as the Father, just as our Lord, being in the vine, he comes and he takes away that which is lacking, that which will hinder bringing forth fruit. So the fire does in the potter's house. The fires of temptation and persecution, and those will just purify us. As he does in the vine, so that we may be saved, he cuts off those things. He purifies the vine by cutting off that which is dead. So he does the clay and the refiner's fire. So that all those things that are hindering us and are showing us as marred will be wiped away. And he remakes us and remolds us into the image of his dear Son. I know that my thoughts that I have for you are thoughts of peace. Good thoughts. We know his heart. We know his thoughts. Why, my dear friend, don't you trust him? And why, my dear brother and sister, do we constantly show lack of trust? Who do we trust? The father of lies? When has our Lord ever lied? When has he ever told us something that isn't going to be? That something's going to be and it wasn't? Let's put our trust in him. He is a God of love, a God of mercy. Repent now, my dear friend, my dear brother, my dear sister. Repent now. He has thoughts for us that will take us through this life. When our wheels stop spinning, when the wheel of life stops spinning for us, dear ones, that we can be purified, vessels of honor, living for his will, doing his will, pointing all to Christ. You can't point to Christ if you are constantly arguing, lying, cheating, but no one sees. You can't point anyone to Christ. Pointing to Christ is living Christ. Is Christ living in me? So may we, dear ones, with God's help this morning, truly take a lesson from this potter's house and understand who our potter is. If you don't know him, my friend, if we have forgotten who he is, dear ones, Jesus simply says, my thoughts are revealed in my word. Learn of me. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.